subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ninja Selling Podcast. Matt and Garrett, we're back with you again, as always. And excited to be spending time with you today. As we get started things rolling, as always, if you want to learn more about Ninja, go to ninjaselling.com. If you want to learn more about our coaching program that I oversee, you're welcome to go check that out on there. Just click on the coaching tab. You can search under Ninja Coaching and you'll find us. We have a ton of amazing coaches that are here to help you along your path with Ninja to have the best ninja business and ninja life that you can create. Now, if you want to go hang out with a bunch of ninjas just like yourself that listen to this podcast and you have questions you want to ask or things you want to be doing to build your business better, go into the Facebook group. You'll find the Ninja Selling Podcast community. Then on there, you can find your friends. You can post questions in there. And again, continually amazed at how amazing that group is and how it's growing. I do want to throw a little disclaimer in the very beginning of this. We have so many people every day that want to join that group. And there's some of you I let in and there's some of you that I don't. And the ones that I don't let in and the ones that I just delete your request, it's because no questions were answered. You didn't agree to the terms of the group. And it is one of the most important things of our group is maintaining a high level of authenticity in that group. I get compliments on it all the time. People reach out to me all the time saying, I don't know how you did it, but this group is incredible. And a lot of it is because we have not let everybody into it.
Yeah. I'll just say on that, like, all you got to do is go answer a few questions. It doesn't matter if you've been to an installation or not. And sometimes maybe those questions haven't popped up if you were invited to the group. So you just go back to the group and you can probably see your request there and, you know, type something in. Because the reason why that's there is sometimes there's bot accounts or things like that that come in and spam and we want to avoid that. That's all it is. We just want to make sure that people have read the rules and everything. That's all it is. Very simple. So
we don't filter by the questions. The questions are, what's your favorite episode? Have you been to an installation? Have you read the book? And do you agree to our terms of services? That's it. If those are answered, or if even some of them are answered, come on in. Yeah. I want to have you here.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Matt, let's jump right in because we have people that are information overload out here right now.
Oh, yeah.
And information overload in this industry, in any walk of life, if you are overloaded with anything going on, it usually causes lack of action. It usually causes us to kind of freeze up and to not be able to make decisions when you have information overload. And I think it's really important we talk about this right now because I am watching tons of people that are frozen. If you can imagine driving down the street when you come across that deer and the deer is going, do I run? Do I stay? Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I go up the hill? Do I jump over the guardrail and go down the hill? And it's just frozen and you're driving the car going, deer, why aren't you moving?
Just make a choice. It doesn't matter. You could go back. You can go forwards. Like, you just need to not be right where you are.
Don't be right there.
So, yeah. Man, I'm excited to chat about this because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of real estate headlines and things around the NAR proposed settlement and all that kind of stuff. But this topic actually came up for us way before that. It's been on our list for a while because there's always just a lot of things that, you know, you get bombarded with different marketing strategies. You get bombarded with different tools and services and different brokerages. I mean, that's the other thing that's kicked up a lot since this proposed settlement is the recruitment efforts on the part of brokers. And I've seen some great efforts and some efforts that make me cringe, to be honest, but they're all there. And there was I forget which book it was in, where they talked about a study on choices, right? And if we have more than three or four choices, all of a sudden the brain doesn't equate them to numbers anymore. It just looks at lots. So it's like, well, I could choose choice one, two, three, but if I have four, it's just lots. There's just lots. Now I don't know what to do and I'm in paralysis. It's like, if I have to choose between chocolate or vanilla ice cream, I can probably make that choice pretty easily. But now when I go to the ice cream shop and there's 30 flavors, 31 with Baskin Robbins, right?
It's 31.
It's like, oh gosh, I don't know. Because I don't want to miss out, right? Yeah. And we see this happen with buyers, right? That's why we have a buyer process that uses the funnel to narrow it down to a rolling top three. Because if the buyers are saying, well, I have 10 houses to choose from, they get paralyzed. And this happens in our business. And certainly right now we're seeing it with agents. There's so much information. They're getting overloaded and then they just get stuck.
If anybody's watching this video and you're watching the back of my head, I keep turning around because I'm looking at my bookshelf behind me because there's a book that all of a sudden, Matt, as you're talking, It's going like, look at me, look at me. And I'm turning around and I can't find it. So I don't know where it's yelling at me from, but it's somewhere in my office. And if I come across it, I will make note of it. I may make note of it in the notes because it literally is a book of like, you know, picking a path and picking a direction. And you talked about when there's too many options involved, and you'll watch this in restaurants. A lot of really high-end restaurants, a lot of times, they're good in a handful of things. And they keep the menus fairly simple. You don't get these big, huge menus. If you go into like a diner sometimes and you open up the menu and there's 1,000 things on the menu and you sit there and you go, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that. Am I in the mood for an omelet or am I in the mood for a, you know, a pan skillet, a little fried thing? Like what am I in the mood for right now? And you've got all these 1,000 things to pick from. And for the most part, that does not help people make decisions. And a lot of times companies will go like, well, if we offer them everything, you know, they're going to get what they want and they're going to have the best experience. Where a lot of times when people need to make decisions, they really need, it's like, is it vanilla or chocolate? Oh, I've got two options. Vanilla. That's the way I'm going to go. I'll enjoy vanilla tonight. That's my option that I got.
Yeah.
You know, as we are looking at this world that we're in right now, and I think by the time this episode releases, we still won't have any answers on certain things.
Yeah, probably not.
We're still all kind of speculating what this is going to be, what this is going to look like. Be really careful as we're doing this because I'm watching companies and leadership and boards kind of throwing ideas or like discussions that are happening around the water cooler of what we think is going to happen and what this might look like. Some of them are educated guesses and ideas. Some of them are total shots in the dark about what this is going to look like. I keep talking to some people and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And the more I talk with others about it, I'm like, that doesn't actually work. That's not how it's probably going to be.
Doesn't make logical sense.
But this information, this is, and again, Matt, bringing it back to this, this is this information overload that we're all in right now. We all have access to the settlement. We can all go read that. We all have access to other things that are coming out, news and media. We have a lot of our boards are doing special meetings. We have a lot of our offices doing special meetings, as well as the educated agents of our office that are telling us how we think this is going to play out. And what happens is when we get that much information coming in, we freeze because we don't want to make a wrong decision. We don't want to mess something up. And the really, and this is where Matt, you and I started talking about this earlier, is like, the best thing you can do is move forward in some way, shape, or form. Pick a path that you believe in and start moving forward in it. Right now, there is no wrong way right now. If you continue to do it just the way you've been doing it right now, for the most part, you got room here as they figure out what exactly this is going to look like. And you're probably going to have to make some changes and some directions to how you've been doing this for a while. But at least as of right now, don't freeze. There's people out here that need your help.
Yeah.
There's people out here that need guidance. If you're bringing value to the table and you're helping guide them, we need to move forward. And most of these agents that I'm saying, Matt, are freezing weren't doing really anything wrong. No. There's a lot of people out there that might have been doing things wrong in the industry that might have been the reason that this all exists. The ones that are freezing are the ones that were like really walking a great line of representing their people and bringing the highest level of value. Like, they're not the ones that a lot of this is aimed at of going, you were doing something wrong. We get to coach the people that are like really here to represent the client at the highest level possible and to be there to support them. But they're the ones that are freezing. That's what I'm watching, potentially.
Yeah. And I will say, like, all the discussion around the proposed settlement is kind of like this icing that's been wrapped around the cake of information overload, because like there's the other things that a lot of people have been frozen about, little things, right? Because and ultimately, this isn't about what's right or wrong esoterically or legally or things like that, because it's really about what people, agents are saying. They're like, well, what's right for my business, right? And looking at a marketing example, we see agents freeze all the time. It's like, well, should I do postcards or should I do email or should I send them to this neighborhood or should I send them to my sphere? Should I do just listed or should I do just sold? Or should I go right in the middle and hit the just under contract one? Because the just listed one is like, whoa, let's just make a decision and move forward with it.
2 months later, not one piece of information's gone out.
Right. Like, we've sold 3 properties and we haven't done anything about, you know, sharing that information. And it's like, well, I don't want to be seen like this. And like, I get it. We want things to be a certain way, but at some point we need to make a decision and move forward with it and then collect the information on the back end. It's like, well, let's
Let's go forward with the just listed postcards then. If that was a thought you had, why don't we move forward with that? Gather information over 6 months of doing it, and let's go back and analyze it at that point, because you'll get the signs from your marketplace and your sphere on whether or not things are, quote, working or not. And by working, I mean providing value. And how do you understand if you're providing value? Well, is there more business coming in, right? That's where I see paralysis happen. Now you add this, you know, whole settlement and like, is this going to change the industry and everything? Which gets people going, oh, well, now I have to wait until I fully understand exactly what I need to say before I go through another buyer consultation. It's like, no, make a decision of using what you currently have. If you're going to choose to go the path of using a buyer agency agreement and using it a certain way, choose that path and go forth and see how that works out.
Get good at it. Figure it out. Yeah. Figure out all the details. Ask questions. Learn from others around you. There's huge opportunities right now. If you can choose a path to say, okay, I'm going to move forward with doing this. I think it's super valuable. You brought up mailings, Matt, and you can look at any system, by the way. So like, I have watched people totally freeze over writing handwritten postcards or handwritten cards. Mm. It's like, all I want to do is write handwritten notes. It's like, great. And so it's like, good, start writing them. Well, what stationery do I use? Do I use colored stationery, white stationery? Do I put my initials on it? Do I put my business information on it? And at the end of the day, I don't care what you write it on. Write a handwritten note to somebody that's heartfelt and meaningful and make a powerful note out of it. Yeah. I don't care if you write it on a Post-it note and stick it on their desk at their office. Write a handwritten note to somebody. But we get into this like this freeze over, well, who qualifies for? Do they qualify for a note? Yes, they qualify for a note. But what if there's a better person out there that I should be writing a note to that I'm not writing a note to? And now I'm like wasting my note on like somebody. It's like, maybe I need to look into my database and find like the best group of people. It's incredible the level of complexity that we can turn these systems into.
Oh, so much. And I'm glad you brought up handwritten notes. It was actually, so yesterday, well, at the time of recording this, because every Tuesday I run this conversation on Actually Agents' Discord, which is a very popular real estate meme account. We always end with a challenge for the week, which we'll put a link in the show notes to that for you guys too, since I'm sure there's now going to be questions about it as I say that. And someone said, well, what about my handwriting? Because the challenge was to write notes. And someone's like, well, but my handwriting isn't that good. I was like, okay, so like write the note. It's about what you write. It's about what you say. It's about the feeling of actually going through the process. It's not about how good or bad your handwriting is. But those are those things that paralyze us. And then to say, well, if I adjust, because how many times, Garrett, have you been paralyzed with a decision? Because this happens to us all the time too, where you don't make a decision. And then a year goes by and you're like, man, if I just decided to go one way or the other, I would have been so much further down the road than I am at this point 1 year later.
Oh, 100%. Now, I do want to just talk really quickly about handwriting for a second. I have atrocious handwriting, but you know how I fix it? I take a big, deep breath and I slow down. And believe me, if I want to sit there and write a handwritten note and the whole time, Matt, say to myself, but my handwriting's horrible. Look at my handwriting. Look at how bad it is. Believe me, what happens is subconsciously, I speed this whole thing up and I go, see, look at that.
Oh, the affirmation going the negative way.
I can barely read it. Just like to prove a point to myself about how bad my handwriting is. And if I just slow down, actually have really nice handwriting. I can make a wonderful thing, but I can also make it look atrocious. And I'm just going to encourage anybody there. If you hear yourself going like, oh yeah, my handwriting's bad too, slow down. Just take a big deep breath. But these are the things that we paralyze ourselves on and we make these grand decisions on. And I will tell you, we have a person in our life, and I'm not going to call them out, that Matt and I have both talked because we both received notes from this person. And we have talked about how their handwriting is really, it's really difficult to kind of work with. At the same point, the nicest notes. Like when you actually get a chance to read it, both of us had made comments to each other separately about how nice the notes are from this person.
The best.
It's okay.
Yeah. I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to receive a lot of handwritten notes. And outside of that person, there's another person in my world who sent me a lot of handwritten notes who does not have what the arbiter of great handwriting would say is good handwriting. And sometimes it's hard to read. I've never gotten a handwritten note going, oh, I hate receiving this. I always look at it as like, I am so excited to receive this note. And because I can tell the passion and energy that went into it. Because here's the other thing. If you don't have, quote, the best handwriting, by actually going forward and writing the note, someone's going to be like, man, despite that, they still wrote me this note because it was that important to them.
That's a really good point, Matt. Like, did they know that their handwriting might be a little bit, believe me, we've all seen other people's handwriting.
We know. Like, we know what we're good at and what we're not good at, but that doesn't change the energy and the message and the intention of just of moving forward with something.
Handwriting is an interesting thing because it really is like a fingerprint. It's like a, you know, that we can make all kinds of judgments. I mean, we're one of those things that we're way harder on ourselves for than I think others are on us.
So much.
We just look at it as, oh, that's somebody's words and we're reading them. And yeah, there's some that are like, you're like, oh, this is really difficult to read. Very rarely, though, most of the times we will take our time to figure it out. But it's like a nose on your face. It's like a fingerprint on your finger. It's like a, you know, this is just kind
of
like.
Are you saying that I have a big nose? Because I do. I'm just.
What was that?
Are you saying I have a big nose? I mean, I know I do, but.
When you turn your profile like that next to your bowl behind you, yeah. It's the horns. It's the horns. So I think that, you know, again, we're way harder on ourselves, but this all goes back to the amount of information paralysis that we get into as we tried to do something, as we're trying to figure something out, that we just stop. And I've had lots of people ask me, because I always have projects going on and I always have things that are going on in my life. And a lot of times people go like, I would be so afraid to do that because I don't know how to do it. How did you learn how to do that? And my answer always is, I learned a long time ago, I don't need to know how, I need to figure it out as I do it. I learn more figuring out as I do than I do sitting down and trying to be educated about it before I start. Now, there's a lot to be said in that about learning modalities, and I get it. There's some of us that are kinesthetic first, and then we're audio, and then we're visual, and you can flip those around any way you want to. I am somebody that has learned just to go and say, you know what? I'm going to throw myself into this and I'm going to learn so much as I go through it. If you walked into my house right now, I'm missing walls. I got wires hanging out all over the place. And I have people that come in and they're like, what are you going to do with all the wires? I have no idea right now. No clue. But I could either not do the project at all or I can figure it out along the way. And I want to encourage everybody, as you're going through and you're learning and you're adding in all this stuff, you can easily get into paralysis and information overload. I mean, I can go and do a lot of research on this and go like, oh, like, I don't know how to do that. So I am stuck here. I'm not even going to touch any of this. I'm just going to walk away for a little bit. I could have been doing that for days and days and days and days and months and months and months and months and months.
Yeah.
Talking about what I'm going to do. And this is your opportunity to take action.
Yeah. It is. And I would say there's two things that I find helpful for me if I feel like I'm in a state of information overload, right? And one is to just write down what questions you have. Like all of this information that's coming at you, what are the questions you have that are holding you back, right? Or what are the statements that you are, quote, acknowledging to be true that are holding you back? Like, oh, I don't have good handwriting, right? Like write all these stuff down, these barriers.
If you can read that, that would be, that's helpful.
Yeah, if you can read your own handwriting when you write it, maybe type it out.
Sorry, I couldn't help. what in the world was I trying to say here?
But I like to like write down, okay, well, what's really going through my head? Because the reason why I'm probably like the step one of why I'm probably having trouble moving is because I am not giving this information a place to be deposited for now. Because if you, it's like if you try to go into a room and move all the furniture out at one time, it's all going to get stuck in the door and now you're trapped. So let's just take them out one by one and just put them in a place, write them down so that, okay, I don't have a solution for this stuff, but at least it's out of my head so I can think about what I need to take action on. And the next is to set a deadline for moving forward with something. So it could be saying, okay, you know what? One of the top five things I'm going to do today is I'm going to write two notes and stamp them and get them out the door without fail. That's the number one thing I'm going to do so that I can consider today a big win, right? Could be like, today's the day that I'm going to get that email and newsletter finally drafted. And it could even be, I'm just going to get the template done. I'm going to go do this. I was talking with a client the other day who was saying, you know, ever since this certain thing occurred, that took away a piece that he was used to using for real estate reviews that was just always there for him, which no longer is. It's like that kind of had put the brakes on real estate reviews. And I said, so why don't you ask yourself, what was that piece for you? and then give yourself a time block to go find what's the next piece that you're going to use to replace that. And he's like, yeah, because everything else about the real estate review is fine. So if you take that time to get information out and then set deadlines and action items, specific action items for yourself, you'll all of a sudden start to move forward with these things and you'll start to feel really good about it. Those are the two things for me, Garrett, that just kind of help information overload just kind of sit over here while I can still move forward with certain things.
So I want to add a little layer onto that because I love this idea of putting down all kind of all your thoughts and kind of collectively putting, you know, getting them down. I would title the top of it, the end all be all goal here is writing notes. And at the end of this, I would put, what is the worst case scenario that could come out of this situation is I don't write any handwritten notes. Like that's the end all be all. Like I don't write handwritten notes.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere in the middle of all this stuff that you've put down is a simple approach that you can be like, okay, well, I'm not willing to accept the worst case scenario because obviously this is the whole reason I'm sitting here and analyzing this. So if I know that that is the worst case scenario and we're trying to figure this out, well, let's look up the list here of like all the things that maybe I could take action on right now. And maybe it's like one thing. Maybe it is I could write one note today that would allow me to kind of get into the habit of doing this. Maybe it's one note this week that I'm going to write to my spouse to kind of just acknowledge them how important they are in my life. Maybe it's to my kids. Maybe I want to write one a week. I got three kids, maybe one to one child, one to the next child the next week, and one to the next child the next week. And every 3 weeks, they get a little handwritten note from me that just says how important they are to me and how proud of them I am right now. What if all of a sudden I open that up to just say, okay, well, who else around me deserves a handwritten note and somebody that's done something nice for me in this last day? And all of a sudden you start opening up these doors and you just start getting better and better. And sometimes it's like, we just need to open up the funnel. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I actually have hundreds of people around me that deserve handwritten notes that I could be. But start small and just start growing with this. Do this with lunches. Do this with real estate reviews. You know, when you start to do break down a real estate review and you're like, okay, so what is the goal up at the top? What are all the things that are on my mind that are stopping me? I'm overthinking right now about writing a real estate review and putting one together. Who am I going to do it for? What's the information I'm going to put in? All these things that we're like, swirling and we're not taking any action. What's the worst case scenario? At the very bottom, no real estate reviews go out. That's the worst case scenario. Well, that's what we're doing right now.
I like that. Having that kind of like, I'm thinking of a timeline. It's not really a timeline, but kind of the bookends, because if it's something that you want to do, the worst case is not doing it, right? Just like with marketing, it's like, well, you know, should I do postcards or should I do email or should I do this? It's like, well, worst case is I do nothing.
What you're doing right now.
You know, as Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take,
yep.
Right? I mean, to be cliche, but it's true. And this is where if we can just get that information out of our head and placed somewhere, it clears the path, right? It's almost like if you're to relate it to cars, because that's what we like to do here.
Oh, thank you, Matt. I've been wondering when you're going to go back to cars.
I know. It's like you're driving down the freeway and there's just all of this traffic in front of you, right? And all of that traffic is slowing you down and you can't see the exit ramps and stuff. And you're like, I'm just not really sure where I should go. So all of a sudden, all that traffic just moves to the right lane and the left lane. And now the middle lane is absolutely clear, right? And you're like, that traffic is still there. It's just no longer in my way. It's like having a great police escort to go right through. And so you can develop your own police escort by putting that information off to the sides and just kind of saying, hey, I'm going to decide on this. And then I'm going to go forward with that. And we'll see what it turns into.
I just had this vision of getting off the Bay Bridge in San Francisco, heading into the city. And anybody who's driven that section of that freeway, getting into the city, it's one of those like, how in the world did I end up off the freeway? Like, why am I downtown right now? Because I didn't mean to get off the freeway. It's like, this was the most confusing thing of all these lanes, all these directions, all these things that you could possibly do. But at the same point, and this is, I think it's important, is using this kind of analogy you just brought up, you can't stop in the middle of the freeway. You can't throw the emergency brake and park the car and look around and go like, well, I could go that way. That would take me this way. The best thing you can do is keep moving with the flow of the energy that's kind of going. And you're going to fix it along the way, which I've done many times because all of a sudden I'm like, how in the world did I get downtown again? I did not want to be here. And you all of a sudden go, okay, where's my way to get back on the freeway? And you get rolling the direction you want to go, but you got to keep moving.
Well, you bring up a good point here. is that a lot of times when we get this information overload, we start to look backwards to decisions we could have or should have made, because there's all this information telling us that we did something wrong or we forgot something, right? And so there's two parts to this. I feel like if we're able to move the information on the side, one, we won't end up in the city when we didn't mean to be. But two, if we do, we just accept that that's where we are and get to make another decision and move forward. Because, man, making decisions sets you so free of certain things, free of judgment of yourself about what happened in the past. Like, oh, I can't believe I got off the wrong exit. It's like, well, we did. And now we're going to make a choice to come back around and get back on, because we can't replay that.
Or I can waste even more time and I can file a complaint with the city planner about why they make the fast lane an exit.
I'm going to go to the city hall right now instead of where I'm actually supposed to go.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to spend the next 5 years of my life trying to change that exit because I'm tired of it. Or I can just learn and I can be better next time.
And hey, that could be the decision you make too. Be like, this is now becoming my mission. It's like, awesome. If you have clarity and that's where your choice takes you, fantastic, right?
I really hope somebody comments on this going like, yep, I've done that. I've taken that exit. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's no way to get over. The traffic's moving too fast and you are all of a sudden downtown.
Yeah. Well, I know we took a couple different stabs at this approach, but I think it's great because there's a lot of different ways that we can move on from information overload. But the key component to all this is making a decision and then acting on that decision. And if you can do that, you're going to feel so much better. And if it turns out to be the quote wrong decision, which all likelihood, there's no real like major right or wrong kind of thing here.
The worst thing you can do is freeze.
Yeah, that is the worst thing you do. And let's say it's a decision that's not as productive as you thought, awesome. We have another decision point then, and we learn and we grow. Ultimately, there's always going to be growth that comes out of making a decision and moving forward. So that's what I encourage people to do.
I can't leave this topic for a second. I had this vision of this wide receiver that's got the ball and just caught it and just stopped and stood there going, what way do I go? And it like takes a matter of a split second before they're taken off their feet and just cream to the ground. It's like, you would have been better running in any direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's that deer standing in the middle of the road. It's like,
yeah,
just go action somewhere. And when it doesn't, you know, everybody loses.
Everybody loses.
Yeah.
All right.
So, well, thanks, Garrett. This was fun to explore this. Thank you guys for tuning in and exploring this topic with us. If you carried it this far, hopefully you've gotten some tools to help you make decisions and go forward. And if you are feeling stuck and want other people to weigh in, we have an incredible community called the Podcast Community, which you can go over to Facebook, search for The Ninja Selling Podcast. You will find it there with somewhere between 15,000 and 16,000 people that you can bounce ideas off of, and also people that you can support as well. If you're not a part of that group and you feel like you're a great voice of reason and want to help some people, there's a lot of people who have questions in there. You can come in there and help provide some value as well, so we can build an incredible community, which it already is an incredible community, but also improve this entire industry together so that we can serve more people at a higher level. And that's kind of our goal with things like that. So,
and
yes,
I want to add in that group real quick too, that all the coaches are group experts in that group too. So if you go in there and you ask questions, if you see somebody pop up as a group expert, those are the instructors for Ninja Selling Installations are in there as experts. Larry Kendall's in there as an expert. And we also have all the coaches in there as group experts. So if you see that pop up, that is who is talking to you. And they're roaming around in there too. They all help answer any questions you have as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's a wonderful place to be. And if you are new to Ninja Selling and you want to learn more about what that is all about, highly recommend you go purchase the book by Larry Kendall, and also check out ninjaselling.com where you can learn more about the 4-day installation and also coaching, where if you are looking for a one-on-one experience and someone to be right there next to you, your ride or die to help you through this business and through everything, like, we're here for you. So check us out all there at ninjaselling.com and stay tuned to this podcast because there's a lot more coming at you.
Thanks, everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.